This episode of Tales from the Lot is sponsored by ShakedownT-Shirts.com with unique lot style t-shirts, license plate frames, coffee mugs, and all sorts of things for Grateful Dead, Fish, Zappa, Panic, and more. ShakedownT-Shirts.com, where all U.S. orders over $35 ship free. And just for Tales from the Lot listeners, use the code LOT20 for 20% off of any order. That's LOT20. Hey, real quick, before we kick off this episode of Tales from the Lot, I've got some exciting news to share with you. I've been working on a project called Summer Tour The Game, inspired by our love of following our favorite bands around. It's a tabletop board game where you chase shows, collect ticket stubs, and relive the magic of live music, all from your own tabletop. I'm thrilled to announce that the Kickstarter campaign for Summer Tour The Game is launching on May 12th. If you're a fan of this podcast, then I think you're really going to enjoy this game. You can check out a short video and all the details at summertourthegame.com. So whether you're a seasoned road warrior or a tabletop gaming enthusiast or just looking for a new way to connect with friends, I invite you to check out the campaign and consider supporting it. Every pledge and share and word of encouragement makes a difference. I'd love it if you would help spread the word and make Summer Tour The Game a reality. Thank you, everyone, for listening and being a part of this journey, and now on with the episode. Tales from the Lot, episode 20. That bus has a lot of wheels. An old friend joins me to talk 62892 at Deer Creek and a whole bunch of other shows we saw together. Here we go. Hi, welcome to Tales from the Lot. This is Will. My guest this week is Kurt. He's from Peru, Indiana, and I kind of know him for like 20, 30, 40, 30, I don't even know how many years, but how you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on here. Kurt and I saw a ton of shows together, and so we'll go over a bunch of that. But I honestly I don't know when we met. I can't remember when we met.
I was like 15 or 16.
And yeah, you were I don't right remember ahead. The moment though.
I don't either. It must have been through Johnny. Like you knew Johnny and Stevie. Maybe through them. You know.
I think it was. And then, so, you know, I sort of know your family was a musical family. What were you listening to growing up before I met you and, you know, as a kid and through your grade school, middle school years musically?
I'll give a brief 20 minutes prologue. My parents were both musicians. My dad is a songwriter. They were into Christian music, that kind of stuff, you know. But the music I got into, the first tape I ever bought was the Boogie Boys, which was like this early 80s rap group. They had this song called A Fly Girl. And I remember that I was like 11 years old and I found this tape and I thought it was so cool.
So sorry to interrupt you, but I just bought that on record like 2 weeks ago.
The Boogie Boys?
What? With Fly Girl on it and like...
Really?
That other, yeah, yeah. And You're So Fly, You're So Fly. Go ahead with yourself.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Man. I literally just like 2 weeks ago bought that on
my. That was it. That was the first cassette I ever had. I thought it was so cool. And then I got in some like Run DMC, you know, the Fat Boys. I was into some rap, you know. And then I remember I bought the Poison album, you know, the one that had Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Right, with the tongue cool. or whatever on it.
Yeah, yeah. And which I don't know how I convinced my parents. Maybe I snuck around and bought it, you know, or something.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have let me have it. As a, being in a religious household, you know. But then, like, when I got into high school, I met Todd G. I don't know if you remember who I'm talking about. But he was into all this alternative music. He loved Susie and the Banshees. That was, like, his jam, you know. And so he turned me on to them and to, like, The Cure. And all these like goth bands, you know. So I got real into that for a little bit. And that's what I was into when I met you, I think. I was like really
Yeah, definitely. I remember you were like the first person to tell me about like Morrissey and the Smiths.
Yeah, Morrissey and stuff. Smiths. I love Jane's Addiction and I was into Nirvana. You know, that was the music from our era, you know.
And yeah, for sure.
I really got into that stuff, but I didn't even know who the Grateful Dead were until I met Matt V.
Yeah.
And he had like this t-shirt on. I was like, who's that? And he's like, dude, it's Grateful Dead. I'm like, I'm not into heavy metal, you know? I thought they were a heavy metal band. It's like the Grateful Dead. It's like some heavy metal shit. I'm not into that. And then, well, we went to your house and you played an album.
Yeah.
We want to get into
that. Was Europe 72? Europe 72?
That was the first album I heard. And it was also the first time I had ever taken psychedelics.
Oh, yeah.
So out in your garage, man. Remember that?
I do, yeah. I had a wannabe Midwestern punk band going on in there.
Oh, yeah. So it was my first psychedelic experience, and also the first time hearing the Grateful Dead. And I remember you put on Truckin' after we got going a bit, you know, like an hour into the trip, you know. I was like, what the hell is this? And I kept on thinking, okay, it's a cool song, it's kind of country, you know, yeah, it's good. Yeah. I just kept going, and it kept going. And I remember looking at you like, dude, is this still Truckin'? And you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that.
That, like, I rewired my brain or something. Hearing that Truckin' all the way through into the morning dew. Mm-hmm. Just, that was it. I was on the bus, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So then, I don't know how much longer it was that summer, but Grateful Dead came to Deer Creek in 92. Mm-hmm. And that was my second psychedelic experience, going to that concert. Yep. And so that was fun.
It was. I gave that one a listen. And a couple things stood out to me. The first set is a monster. Help Slip Frank. Tons of other sort of first set staples, and then it ends with
a new Speedway in there or something.
And New Speedway, Smokestack Lightning to end the first set. Like, what's going on there? You know,
You know, I was like 17, maybe I was 16. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was pretty young. And just, like, had just gotten turned on to this stuff. So, to me, I'd heard Europe 72, and I think we'd listened to Without a Net. So I was a little familiar with some of the new stuff. But I didn't really, I just remember thinking, like, these old beatnik hippie dudes were up there. And they're just playing the funkiest, far-out jazzy music, you know? And it just, just blew my mind, you know, like seeing that.
I was trying to remember. Yeah, the China Rider. And then, so the estimated, I mean, if you're into estimated Bob Weir ha fests, that one is particularly good. And then after that, it just sort of just melts. It just melts down for a few. And that's a great estimated.
One thing I remember, I mean, we were experiencing this together. I was standing right next to you. And I remember I'd never heard some of the songs. And they started playing, Jerry started singing To Lay Me Down. And I've never heard this song. And I remember you had such a reaction to it. You're like, wow. You know, I'm like, what? This is just some slow song, some ballad. And, you know, looking back now, I'm like realizing how special that was. That was a treat, dude. That was a good Jerry treat.
And oddly enough, the Casey Jones is sort of a treat, too, because at that point, it had been many a year. You know, I can't remember exactly that, but like, it had been a while since it had been.
A while, yeah.
Yeah. And another thing, if I could add the China Doll, the guitar solo that Jerry rips in there, which is like the Jerry slow song at the end of the second set, which it doesn't usually do, but the tone he's got in there is just so nasty. Like just the right amount of distortion. Just
They were in such a weird place. Like the band that is at that time, you know, with Vince on his own, which, you know, in 30 years of perspective, looking back, I kind of like the shows with Vince alone sometimes better, just because he was like trailing with him playing with Bruce. It didn't always turn out as good for Vince, but he could really shine on his own. And man, the band was like, the wheels were falling off, but they'd been falling off a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. And that bus has a lot of wheels, you know?
Still had that further sign on the front of it.
So I mean, it wasn't as good as they'd been, like that era, not that show, but just that era. But there were still a few concerts we saw that they were the real Grateful Dead still, you know, that kicked it up a few matches.
Yeah. I think the following year, the Buckeye Lake show, you were at the one where Sting opened, right?
Yeah, I was there for that show.
Yeah, I think that one in particular, which you can see the whole show on YouTube now.
I know, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, is just amazing. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we did see some great shows. Actually, I pulled it up. So like, did you go to Richfield? I think Richfield 93 in the spring, you might've been in, you were still in school at that time.
I don't think I went to that one, but I was at that legendary 94 Richfield show.
The one
with the Stella Blue and the Love Light. Mm-hmm. I just listened to that the other day and I haven't listened to it in a long time and I was shocked at how good that show is. Like, they're all in sync. Jerry's voice sounds great. And he's playing these licks that it's like, okay, yeah, I know he's got diabetes and all the problems with arthritis, but man, he could still rip it up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some really good points.
Yeah, for really certain. I mean, look at this. We probably saw 12, 15 shows together, Grateful Dead shows. Maybe Soldier Field 94, Deer Creek 94, and 93. You know what though? I remember right before Deer Creek 93, we brought the Grateful Dead movie from Blockbuster or somewhere and to your house to watch with your dad to turn
we
him
watched
into
it
a
with
deadhead.
My dad?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, right there in your living room, we watched the Grateful Dead movie. And that's what got your dad sort of on board with going. He's like, no, they're right. Not bad.
Was it 93 he went to or 94? He went to one of those concerts with me.
Right. So like I have this vivid memory of you and I rolling up to his office because he was sort of the boss of what he was doing. And we go up there and he's on the phone and he's like, yeah, I got to go. Yeah, I got to go. Yeah, listen, I'm going to a Grateful Dead concert. I got to go. And you guys take it off to that. And I think we met you somewhere along the way. Cause I was like, you know, I was too cool for that. I was like, I like your dad and all, but I think I'm going to go hang out with these people who are taking the acid.
I kind of remember a little bit, you know, my dad, like I said, was into Christian music, but he was a good dad. He still is a good dad. He's still around. He always showed up, you know, he was there. He'd show up. He'd go to all the stuff. And I'm like 17 or 18, and he wanted to see what I was into. And it's weird because that's their era, you know, the Grateful Dead. Mm-hmm. He never got into that stuff. He was into other music, never got into the hippie shit, you know. But I think it was he was a fish out of water, man, you know. Like
totally.
He's doing cartwheels and tripping their balls off.
Didn't he take your mother back the next year or something like that? Like
No. Mom never went. No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just the one time. Gotcha. That was a good dad thing. That was a good dad move, you know. As a dad now, for sure. I really appreciate it, you know.
For sure. Like, have you been to Taylor Swift or something yet?
That's what I was going to say. It'd be like taking my girl to see Taylor Swift. All right. Yeah.
You went west also, right? You saw a bunch of shows that I didn't see out on the West Coast. Did you go with Matt to those or who was?
I went with the late great Chris L. I'll say some Chris Long. This is probably doing Chris Long, but he's not with us anymore. Which is sad because he was a great guy.
He was a truly great guy.
He was a wonderful guy.
Like just a good soul.
Yeah, he was a deep dude, and he called me up one day and was like, dude, we're going on the West Coast tour. Why don't you come along? I went with him and also the late, great Tully. Remember him? He's not with us anymore either. Jeffrey Sullivan.
Remember him? Right. Yeah,
Tully.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. He went with us. But he was like full woke at that point and like didn't really hang out much. He'd somehow make it back to the car after every concert, you know, go on to the next one.
Difficult.
Went off and did his own thing, you know. we went out there we caravanned out there and I mean, I got some good stories about that trip. That was my first like real trip out west, you know, without my parents or something, you know. And it was magical. Like rolling up over Washington State and like over the mountains and the sunrise. It was truly magical. And then getting into Seattle, you know, Seattle's known for it to be always rainy. And this is late May, and it's the most gorgeous day. It's like 78 degrees, sun is shining, you know. All the heads are out partying. And you could hear the music outside the venue perfectly. Just like being in the lawn. Just couldn't see the band. So we went into the first night. We got there late. and I saw like half the first set and the second
set. What was the venue?
In Seattle, I don't know the name of it. Just whatever, War Memorial, maybe? I don't know if that's okay. Right.
Sorry to interrupt you.
You'll have to look it up. But this is Spring Tour 95. Mm-hmm. So we went to the first concert, and it was okay. The second night, we didn't get in, but we sat outside, and we're just sitting on a blanket hanging out. And they played a Scarlet Fire. I don't know if you've heard this one, but the Fire in the Mountain, Jerry got this crazy effect, this like octave, where he's like, you know, it's so weird. I've never heard him play anything like that. And it was, you could tell he was having so much fun. He's like trying out new sounds and like really getting into it. And that was a treat. That was really cool. The rest of the shows weren't that great. Like Portland was like, I remember in, he played, they played Shakedown and Jerry didn't even, he wasn't even playing a solo. It was just the rest of the band, you know, just playing rhythm. And he's just kind of like, well, doing his thing, you know? So those weren't that great, but it was an awesome experience. You know, it was really cool seeing all
that's part of it.
But we decided, Chris and his wife at the time, we were with his sister too. All of us decided we're going to go camping out in the mountains in Oregon. We're just going to take this logger trail, you know, off. Gotta go up there and camp, right?
Sounds up great.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Until you were actually there. And then there's the, these tornadoes, man, of mosquitoes, like literal giant columns, like swirling, and they descended upon us. And we're smoking cigarettes, we're smoking bud, we're doing everything to smoke these. Maybe we'll get them stoned or something. Believe us a lot, it didn't happen.
Yeah, they'll lose their way and go away.
No, it didn't happen. And so finally, we gave up. You know, we're like, we can't. We're gonna get killed here by these mosquitoes, you know?
Yeah.
So we left, and we're coming down the mountain. And I'm following them, and we hit this, I hit this pothole or a rock or something, and I got a flat tire. And we made it, like, I was real close to the main road, I kind of drove to the road, and just pulled over, I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do, you know? I don't have AAA, this is 1995, no one had cell phones, you know, just out there. And these hippies, like, pulled over. The guy like got out, helped me fix the tire, and was just like the kindest guy. He like gave me some buds, you know. And he's like, "Here, man, got you, you know." Got my guardian angel, man. So just it was that kind of trip. Just a lot of positive vibes. And it was really cool. It was a good.
Yeah, good, I remember when you came back from that. Yeah, you came back from that talking about the Jerry whale call. You're like, dude, he's doing these crazy whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, and, that was from that Fire in the Mountain that just blew my mind. I've never heard him do something like that. And, you know, talking about the later day Grateful Dead, I just loved the direction they were going. They came out with all this new material. And some of the songs were easy answers. Yeah. I like Eternity. I think the lyrics are really dumb, but the song itself was cool. Like the jams they would do, I was listening to that Richfield 94 show, and that Eternity is really good.
Yeah.
And it's like a good blues song, but they would take it like the next level, you know, and like Lazy River Road, So Many Roads.
Great song. Yeah. So Many Roads, great song.
The Days Between. That's such a good one.
Yeah.
So they had some really good material they were working on, and it's just the time was up, you know.
Yeah.
But I would have loved
even Liberty's okay.
Yeah. Liberty's cool too. I was grooving to that the other day.
It's okay when you don't hear it every night. I felt like there was a minute there where we were hearing it, you know, every other night or so. You know,
same with like I Fought the Law. Everyone just started groaning when they heard that.
Yeah,
like,
time to go.
But it was a cool song, you know.
We were there for the first one of those, by the way.
Was that the my first
Richfield
show?
93.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Jeremy and I drove over there, and then I think you did you fly or something? And we went.
I don't think so.
You came the second day.
I think I came to the. I know I went to Rosemont with Matt V that year. And
you were at Richfield 93, and I'm pretty sure you flew, and we went and picked you up at the airport.
Really?
Yeah, because we got snowed out the first night, and they got canceled, and there was a big party. And we all just partied in this hotel, and then you had something. I don't know.
Are you thinking of Memphis? Because I know I flew into Memphis and Chris Long.
This was definitely Richfield because there was the Terrapin Station and that super weird Karina.
Yeah, which I like that song now.
It's a kung fu morning. Sun is shining on me. I'm just trying to get my space together. Can't you see? I need some kung fu coffee.
I have this 8 o'clock meeting at the office and I'm not feeling it.
Here, babe, try some kung fu coffee.
Kung fu coffee? Damn, that coffee kicked my ass.
There's 5 more bands at the festival today. And I didn't sleep at all last night.
Here, try some kung fu coffee.
Motherfucker! That coffee kicked my ass. Our coffee beans are growing in our secret laboratory, deep underground in Canada, with a recipe handed down from my Uncle Tom. Our facility is protected by several hundred top-notch ninjas who also participate in grinding the beans with their bare hands. And well, I suppose that's where we got our name. It's a kung fu morning. Sun is shining on me. I'm just trying to get my space together. Can't you see? I need some kung fu coffee. Kung fu coffee. It kicks your ass. Okay, so you're a bit of a musician yourself too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing guitar for like 30 years, but I'm not very good at it. You know, I know enough to like play the songs I like. And I've been working on scales and trying to be able to do some lead. Mostly I just play chords and stuff. But what I like to do is like MIDI music, you know? I like to make like a, it's not really reggae, but it's in that style. Like that's the roots. That's my roots is the reggae dub stuff. And so I kind of take that approach to my music. And I still work with Johnny and Spencer. We do a lot of music together. They're still doing stuff too. We all use Reason mm-hmm. software, right. Which it's great because I can plug in my guitar and record analog, and also play MIDI with my keyboard. Right. So,
speaking of our local haunts back in the day, there was the one in particular, the Waffle House. I can't even explain why groups of teenagers would hang out there in the number of like 10 to 12 to 13 of us.
People don't do that anymore, you know? Or maybe some people do, but not as much. And that maybe, was where we grew up there, man. We spent hours.
We did. We would just drink coffee and bullshit until the sun came up sometimes.
Yeah. Buy one pot of coffee. Poor waitress is like,
yeah, right.
And we'd like go out to your car and smoke dudes and listen to the bed all night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, So the last episode of this I did with a guy who was at the Warlock show, and so I was listening to that and brushing up, and I was just like listening to that just took me back to a moment sitting with you out in the car, like playing a kazoo or something. Listening to listening to this Warlock show, just like I knew this thing note from note from that happening.
Yeah, we wore those tapes out, dude. You would send off your Maxell XL2s to like random just people you somehow met, like at concerts or something, and they send you back these to see 6th generation tapes. Some of them were good, you know, but that was what we had, and we loved it. Yeah, you know? They were treasured possessions. When I moved to Peru, I had all these old cassettes, and we didn't have the room for them, so I got rid of them. But I was just, the whole time, like, man, I poured so much energy into these cassettes. These things are almost like living creatures at this point, you know? Mm-hmm. But I still need for them, you know? We've got everything better sounding on the internet, and it's all free. archive.
It's true. Yeah. You can go to the Internet Archive and really just pull up anything you need, and it's all there.
Did you keep your tapes? You still got
them?
No.
I let them go long ago. I do have somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, thousands of vinyl records still.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. But no, I got rid of the tapes.
I don't even have a cassette player. It was just, these were the treasured possessions. You know, we worked so hard to collect those, you know, and I remember going into your little bedroom and we'd have, you know, just have it running constantly, making copies of these tapes that you got, you know.
Totally. I was trying to give them to anybody who would take them too, like, you know, around school, around wherever, didn't matter.
Yeah.
Here, listen to this, listen to this. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, man, those were fun. Those Waffle House years were the formative years, you know. That was a good time. That was where we discovered all this music, you know.
Totally, yeah. We listened to a lot of Zappa and a lot of
Zappa and
Grateful. P-Funk snuck its way in there too. I know. You and I went to the World Mardi Gras, and it was like a bar where they could, and I didn't know about it, but I remember walking into your room one day and you had, I think it was like maybe Parliament's Greatest Hits or something. And we're listening to it and you're like, yeah, they're coming to Indy. And I was like, well, we should go. Let's look into it. So we did. And it was at this place called the World Mardi Gras, which no longer exists, but just sort of, I tried to look this up and sort of from memory also, I want to say it had several bars they could close off. And it would be like a band playing on this part and a band playing over here, and they would close the walls. But this particular night, they totally opened it up to one big thing because, you know, it's Parliament, so, you know, it's P-Funk, so whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to need more people. But my memory of it is they didn't stop for like 4 hours. Like, it was just like a nonstop, longest concert I've ever been to that didn't have a set break.
Funk Fest, you know?
Yeah. And just being blown away and have been, I've seen as many P-Funk shows as I could get to after that, for sure.
I think that's the only one I saw.
But yeah.
I don't remember too much. What's that?
They're probably a close third between like Fish, Grateful Dead, and then.
Oh, P-Funk. Yeah. Yeah. That's the stuff. I mean, I love the funk music, man. That's the stuff I'm into nowadays. But from what I remember of that, and I don't know if we were taking any substances or anything, you know, or if we were just smoking some weed or something, but I remember it being at like some hotel and like walking into the lobby. I don't know what it was, but I remember like going in there and thinking this wasn't like a regular concert. It wasn't an arena, you know, it was just like real laid back. And I don't remember there being a lot of people, but I remember them busting it out, you know.
Yeah,
funky music
for a long time. Like, they just kept going. we saw a ton of Fish shows too, like one in particular, the Halloween 95, I
went there with Johnny, and we had seats together, Johnny and I. You guys were there, but I don't remember being with you at the concert.
I thought that
was a legendary show.
Yeah, it was. I wish there was a video of it. Yeah, we did see a ton. Like, you know, when they came to Deer Creek and like just all the stuff. Like, we went to like Dayton and Louisville and like.
Yeah, the Dayton show. I'm pretty sure we were at that 94 University of Chicago show.
That was my birthday, actually. With Joe.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah, Joe was there. That, I think that was his first show. And then God, he actually
like the greatest show of all time, you know,
no doubt. And he's been on the bus ever since. We were just texting a couple of days ago. He's seen 23 shows this year. He came out and stayed with
Joe
me.
Joe C from Washington.
I'm talking about Joe O or Joe H rather.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right.
He's seen 23 shows this year and he came out and stayed with me for Dix and did all four of those.
I got out of Fish for a long time. Like, I think my last concert I actually went to was in 99. We went to I was living with this guy in Bloomington, and he took me, we decided we were just going to go to some fishes, and we went to that big airfield, this festival, right, in 99. And then we went up to Canada and saw a concert there. The one at the airfield was pretty good, but the Canada show was terrible. Like, at least that's how I remember. It was probably great, but I was like, this sucks. And I just never saw them again until I got back into them last year, and I've watched like every concert this year from my couch, you know. Yeah. And they're pretty good, man. I mean, and going back and revisiting all that stuff, I'm like, dude, I saw the Marat 93 show. That was just legendary performance. And didn't even realize it, you know. Yeah. And like, oh man, that's some good shit there, you know.
You know, I was like, you're like, oh yeah. After 96, I didn't see Fish for a long time. And then, like I said, they're playing super close at Dick's every year. And so 2014, I decided to go check it out. Nice. And then, And so I've been back every year since. And it's like, you know, it's not what we saw in 94 and 95.
Well, Trey's back doesn't have the speed, but he's still got the musical mind, you know?
Yeah. But it's like the best thing out there still.
Oh yeah, some of their jams. In fact, wasn't it at Dick's that Split Open and Melba just went way out there?
Yeah,
and that was good stuff. And I was like, oh, this is bringing me back. You know?
Yeah, I love Dick's. Like just getting down there on the field, like right in front of Paige or something, or just sort of off to the side, not right in the front, because Trey creeps me out. He gets all starey and stuff, and likes to wait.
Yeah, right. and the people there.
Yeah, but man, it's just such a, like, I don't know, that's, you know, plan your trip around that. Come out for Dick's next year.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. I want to see Fish one more time, just because, dude, they're getting old. They've been together 40 years. You think about the Grateful Dead, they only did it for 30. You don't count the stuff they're doing now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're, you know, it's how much longer they're going to be doing it, you know?
No doubt. Did you see any Dead and Company shows?
I saw one. Like 4 years ago with Michael M. I don't know if you remember him.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it with him, and it was really good, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. They played this Terrapin that was great. But, you know, it's like seeing Bob Marley and the Wailers without Bob Marley. That's how I feel. It's just not
That was a big reason I stopped sort of going to see Fish and a lot of other bands too, is because, you know, when we were seeing them, you know, here I sound like the curmudgeon-y old man.
Yeah, right. But,
you know, it was you know, $30, you know, and we were going to see, you know, $32.50, and we're seeing the Grateful Dead at Soldier Field, you know? And,
yeah, man.
And then, you know, and then I'm looking up and I'm like, oh, let's go see Fish. And it's like $60. I'm not going to pay $60 for a concert, you know? Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe I will. And then I'm paying it. I'm all right. And then it's 70, and then it's 80. And then this year it's like 112 if I want to be on the field. But like, dude, that's, I mean, I guess that's the cost of everything. They got to pay their people. And, you know,
well, I don't think they're hurting for money though, you know,
that's what I was saying. As you say, who knows how much longer they're going to do it. And maybe they're just, you know, saving up a little too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what else am I going to see that's going to give me that bang for the buck? Like, man, that Saturday Night Fish show I saw this year when they had that 5-song encore.
You saw one of, like, the best.
Yeah, I was just like,
I've got that rated like second of the year below the 8-4 MSG show. Was really good too.
Yeah, yeah.
Madison Square Garden show was really good. But yeah, I've got that Dick show is one of the best this year, you know.
It's really good. I agree. Yeah, it's blew my mind. But
you know, like, the older I get too, it's just, there's so much that goes into going to a concert. It's not just buying the ticket. It's like showing up and having to deal with all the people, you know, everyone's chain smoking or whatever, you know. It's just, I do it outside. I don't know if I go to an indoor concert. I'll tell you, we're talking about other bands now, but did you catch any of the Goose concerts out there? Are you a fan?
I've heard a little bit of Goose. I'm not going to say I'm not a fan, because I like what I've heard of Goose. But I just I haven't dug into it. Like,
they don't really get like into them. They don't take it out the out there jams. It's more just like jamming, you know. But They're really good, man. And they just played Red Rocks, and they were amazing concerts. So that's the band I've been into lately. I've been getting into them a little bit.
That's cool.
They're fun to watch. I like the Rick guy, the guitarist. He's great. He's really good. Mm-hmm. They bring the funk. You know what I mean? They have that like fish funk, cow funk, whatever you call it. You know, they got that thing going for them. So I really like that stuff.
I definitely like what I've heard. I just haven't taken the time. But so, yeah, I don't know if somebody's impressed me recently that I've seen like on I think he did Bonnaroo, and then he did that thing in Indiana that I can't All In, I think it was called
All In. Yeah.
But Corey Wong, are you familiar with him?
Yeah, I've heard of him. I haven't checked him out much, but I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's great. He's really just good. Really super funky, and his band is so tight, like a giant horn section, amazing drummer, great everywhere you look, great in the band, right? And but he specifically decided, I want to be known as a crazy badass guitar player, but I'm not going to play lead guitar.
So
it's just all like just the funkiest out there
stuff?
just rhythm, just crushes rhythm, you know, like just super funky, like a little Princey. You could tell he's listening to some Minneapolis a little bit, but he also has a group called the Fearless Flyers, which is Joe Dart, I want to say his name is, from Wolfpack, the bass player from that, and this drummer, and I can't remember his name right now, but he just plays only a kick, a snare, and a hi-hat. Okay.
Oh, no fill.
That's just, it. Just.
That's all I play.
But it is blow your mind level, Neil Peart level drumming on just a kick, a snare, and a hi-hat. Like, how is he doing what he's doing on just that? You know, like his crashes are, you know, like just so.
Right.
So good.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you who is, after getting into Fish again and watching like the spring tour, summer tour, I've been so impressed with John Fishman. He's just the way he does it. He plays so around the beat, you know, but he's always right on the one. He's like the most steady guy, but he's playing so backward around it. Like in some of those jams, he just takes it all the way around.
He's a
monster. I've just never heard anyone play like that, you know.
His own new style. Trey said, there's a reason they named the band after him.
Yeah, for sure. And like, so, you know, my top drummers, Bill Kreutzmann, you know, he's maybe not like the later days. I feel like the era we got into, a lot of the band had kind of checked out. Like some, like Phil isn't really on it as much. I mean, he'd have his moments, you know, but they're going through the motions a lot of the time. But man, back in the 1972, 73, like he was just tearing it up. There's just, something about Billy, you know, back in
the days. I think what's some of the shows we saw in 93 and 94, I felt like 92 might have been not quite as stellar, but I felt like 93 and 94 there was sort of a bounce back,
those were good shows. Energy. Like the ones we saw, like Jerry's birthday show was really good.
And, at the Palace. That was such a good time. That was so good. Fun. Yeah, was, and everybody, I remember like we went that whole tour and they never played Scarlet Fire. Like, come on, they're not going to play. Like, when are they going to play? And they're like, okay, they're going to save it for Jerry's birthday. We get all the way up to the night and it's Jerry's turn to open the second set because Bob had just closed out the first, and instead they play Victim or the Crime and then Scarlet Fire. Like, oh, they're not going to do it at all. And then they, you know, they unload this, just a really good Scarlet Fire. I felt like too. So what are you into these days? Like, you know, Beyond the Fish and the Grateful Dead, like, have you found and Goose, I mean, have you found something like maybe a movie or a TV show or an album or a band? Like what's something that's really knocked you out recently?
Well, my wife and I, she calls this genre sad dad music.
Okay.
Sad dad folk music. Right. And this guy that lives out there near you, well, he lives near Boulder. So I don't know. That might not be near you.
It's
in your state, you know, it's in that general area.
Like 40 minutes.
Yeah. So, but his name's Gregory Alan Isaacov. Have you heard of this guy?
I have not.
You know who he is? Oh, he's great. He's it's not like jam band music. He doesn't jam out the song, but he's a great songwriter. He's a great lyricist. He's a great poet. That's one of our favorites, but it's emotionally, I mean, it's sad dad music, you know. Mm-hmm. Very sad songs, which sometimes are the best, you know. Right. Those are always my favorite Jerry songs, you know, the sad Jerry songs. Are always the best, you
know? Right. But what's the instrumentation?
What do you mean? Like what kind of...
Like guitar, bass, drum?
Oh, like, yeah. He's got it's very acoustic. So he's playing acoustic. He has like a banjo player with him. He got upright bass, drummer, sometimes a steel guitar. That might be the banjo player too, doing the lap guitar thing, you know. But check it out. He is awesome. And he's got his own little farm out there in Boulder where he grows medicinal marijuana, you know. Yeah. He does that part-time too.
That's cool.
But he's on tour right now. And to all you guys out there, I'm plugging Gregory on Isaacov. He's great.
All right. Awesome. I'll check him out too. I'm always looking for new music to listen to for sure.
Yeah, like I said, it's very different. It's not jam band music, but it's just well-written songs, you know, like good folk music, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. You know, one thing I didn't touch on, and I got to say this. We wore out the You're Only in It for the Money CD.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you remember that thing, like, on over at my place, just on repeat?
What's there to live for? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got really into that, though. I had all the albums at once.
Yeah. Yeah. We would just like, and it had Lumpy Gravy. So it was those two, I think, like the two for one. And it, sadly, I didn't know this at the time, but it was the remixed ones, you know, with like the Chad Reckerman drums. And
did he do all the music on there with Chad Reckerman?
Well, yeah. So, what happened, Frank went back and re-recorded all the bass and drums for Rolling In It for the Money, Lumpy Gravy, Reuben and the Jets. I think that was it, but there might have been one or two more, and had Chad and Walter Barrow, I want to say, but I can't remember exactly, play overdub the bass and drums, and then they re-released it as remastered on those CD that we were listening to back in the 90s.
That's for you how good Chad Wacken is to like that old style.
Totally. He just wanted an updated sound. Yeah, he wanted an updated drum sound, an updated bass sound, because he felt like it all sounded dated. So I got it on vinyl, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, what the hell is this? Because I'm listening to like the original version, you know?
No kidding. Dude, I got to check out the original one. That's the only one I've heard, too.
Yeah, it's out there. I think there was they did a release that had like several different versions on it. But yeah, check out the original version of that, of those two albums, and it's like a whole new experience.
Okay, I got one more story for you. And
all right,
this is kind of crude. And we'll see if you remember it. And we don't have to include this if you don't want to.
All right.
But okay, so it's 93 Deer Creek. You and I rode together, and we stopped at the Taco Bell on the way there.
Yeah.
And this must have been before I was vegan vegetarian, because I got myself one of those chili cheese, cheeserito things or whatever they were, you know?
Uh-huh.
We got to the Grateful Dead concert, and we parked, and I'm feeling a little, you know, in my belly. Okay,
Taco Bell will do that.
Yeah, so you know what's coming, right? So we call in our family, we refer to a shart as a pethly, because
as a what
we didn't as a pethly we made up this word.
Okay,
a pethly, right? Because we
That's
didn't
proper.
Want to. We didn't want our 5-year-old daughter to know what a shark was, you know, say shark.
Yeah,
it's called a pet. So yeah, we got to this Grateful Dead show, 93, and I just petly all over myself. Do you remember this at all? Do you remember
I do vaguely remember that, yeah.
And I'm like, oh dude, I just petly, we're at a Grateful Dead show. What am I gonna do? You know?
Mm-hmm. Like so, I sort of remember that moment, because I feel like that was the exact moment I was eating like 8 hits of LSD, and you were trying to tell me that, and I was a little distracted on what might be about to happen.
So,
sadly, what happened was not very good for me that night, but you know.
Really? I don't remember. Did you have a tough time that night?
I had a super tough time, and I remember we're walking back to you, you had that what was it, like a Bronco or something, or Blazer,
like
or something,
Blazer.
Blazer. Yeah. We're walking back there, and I'm just having a bad time. And we get back there, you're like, I got it, man. I got the tunes for you. You just hop in the back. I got this. And you throw on like REM or something. I'm like, whoa, no.
Really?
That
was, yeah. Listen to this Kate Bush. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm like, no. And so we finally agreed on Burning and Looting. And I was like,
there you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, this is what I need right now. And all was right with the world at that point. Yeah. But
that was my coming down music, that album.
Yeah.
That song, Put It On, you know, that's the one you want when you're coming down off the
totally. But I do remember you like you were trying to explain to me, like, dude, I gotta go find like a portified ear. I gotta find something. And at the same time I'm like, okay, man, but okay.
That's not what I'm thinking. Well, and then I had this like old pair, this pair of shorts from like when I was in junior high or something. They were like Bob Weir shorts, right? So
cosplay.
I got these short shorts on, you know. But luckily, I had an extra pair of shorts. So I went to the nasty porta potty and cleaned myself up, and just went commando with these Bob Weir shorts. So me and Bobby, we were on the same page that night. You know, he had his short shorts and I had mine, and people probably thought I was a big Bob Weir fan. You know?
Yeah, I do. I do sort of remember playing some hacky sack while you were wearing short shorts, and you're like, I can't kick too high.
Yeah, man. That was a funny story. My family loves that story. They think it's Miss Ware's thing.
Just pass it down for generations.
Yeah. So that's my peppily sharten myself at the Grateful Dead show. So do not recommend.
You and I, we played a lot of hacky sack though. Like we would hours and hours we would play.
To this day, I have an amazing balance when I'm on my left foot. You know, I can stand on my left foot for hours. All the hacky sack you play, you know. This is before there were like good video games. We didn't have phones, you know, that we carried around. We played hacky sack. We got stoned. We played hacky sack.
We did. We would go to the park and just crank up the stereo and play hacky sack for hours next to the river.
Yeah, Junior. Remember, you had that big van. We'd like all hop in his van and just go play hacky sack.
One night, you're like, "We're gonna smoke weed every." A possible way we can figure out. and you got to where you're just like lighting it on fire and holding it in front of you.
Like, burn this bud just right here. That probably worked nowadays with how potent it is. We were smoking some nasty ass ditch weed back then, you know.
That's no doubt.
I remember we'd have like you had some old friends that were like in their 40s, and they had that good Mexican.
Oh yeah. I was playing in that classic rock. I don't know. I think I was playing in some classic rock band with some older guys and just learning how to play, you know. Those guys were funny.
I was in the band with you for a second. I was going to be the singer, and we played this Toad the Wet Sprocket song, and it was so awful. I was like, I can't.
No, it was all so awful. I didn't last too long either, but I did make a friend out of it. That Dennis guy, he was a pretty good guy, and I'd see him around town quite a bit.
Was he the guy that was playing guitar?
Yeah.
He was a cool, at his house, I liked him too.
Yeah, he was like the sane one. the other guy, I don't even know, some other guy. The guy who was singing before you came, he was like 40, right? But he had a girlfriend who was like 16. Yeah, it was the worst. It was like, I got to get out of here. And then they got rid of him, and it wasn't so bad, but it still wasn't great. So.
I just came over for all the duties, you know.
Yeah, there was duties to be had.
It's a good times, man. Well, that's about all the stories. I mean, we could probably go over all kinds of stories, but
totally.
I think that's what I got.
All right, Kurt, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I've been bugging you, I know, for a while to come and do this. And
this is fun, man. Maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Who knows?
No doubt. All right. Take care.
You too.
Just wanted to add a couple of things to the end of this episode. This was my 20th episode, so if you've made it through all 20 so far and you're hearing this, thank you so much for listening. This episode was also recorded on my 50th birthday, so pardon, I had a couple of beers, not typical. And lastly, I'll be closing out the show with a song from my guest, Kurt. He goes as Veganic Vibes on SoundCloud. I'll be putting a link to his music in the show notes. But here's a song called New Funk Stroll. Hey now, do you have a great story about a Grateful Dead show you were at? I'd love to hear it and maybe have you on the podcast. Send me an email at will@talesfromthelot.org and let me know what show you would like to talk about and what made it so special to you.